This episode is sponsored by our friends at Fujifilm North America. Their X-Series digital cameras and lenses may just give you that creative edge you're looking for in your portraits and events. You'll find everything from 40 megapixel image quality to 40 frames per second burst, plus unique in-camera film simulation modes and effortless usability. Click the link in the episode description to find the full range. There has never been a better time to invest in your passion, so make sure to click the link. Hey there, it's Nikki Klosser, and I want to let you know about an awesome free giveaway for people on our email list. If you haven't already, click the link in our podcast description or go to theportraitsystem.com/signup to get on the list. If you sign up, you'll get a free posing 101 PDF to jumpstart things. It's an epic PDF, so you'll definitely want to get this. Also, just by being in our email community, you'll get deals, sales, and information about any of our upcoming events and activities. So head over to theportraitsystem.com/signup and sign up today. Welcome to the Portrait System Podcast. I'm your host, Nikki Klosser, and this show is here to help you succeed in the world of photography and business, to help you learn to become financially free doing what you love and so much more. With over 1 million downloads, countless photographers have taken what they've learned from both our episodes and from theportraitsystem.com, and they have grown their businesses, quit their day jobs, and are designing a life of their dreams. We keep it real and share stories about the ups and downs that come with running a photography business. You'll hear real life stories of how other photographers run their business, and you'll learn actionable steps that you can take to reach your own goals. Thank you so much for being here, and let's get started. Hey everyone, it's Ashley Taylor, and I'm excited to introduce you to this week's Clubhouse edition of the podcast. This week, Kevin and I spoke with Christina Reche. She is a Barcelona-based photographer specializing in maternity and newborn photography. In this fun conversation, we explored how Christina markets herself and finds clients for maternity and newborn sessions, her best tips and tricks for shooting maternity and newborn sessions, and how she strategically shoots to sell her packages. Christina gave some really great advice and was able to answer some questions from our live audience as well. I learned a lot from this conversation, and I know you will too. So let's get started.
Welcome everyone to the Portrait System Podcast Clubhouse Edition. My name is Kevin Conde, and I'm here with my co-host, Ashley Taylor. If you are not familiar with the Portrait System, we are a portrait photography podcast that is powered by Sue Bryce. Nikki Klosser hosts our Monday episodes, and Ashley and I co-host our Clubhouse edition, which is live here on the Clubhouse app every Friday at noon Pacific. And then our episodes are released on Thursdays. You can tune in on your favorite podcast app by searching for The Portrait System. Ashley, how are you doing today?
I am great, Kevin. I'm great, but I'm getting over a cold, so my voice is like a little scratchy, but other than that, I'm good. And I'm so excited to be welcoming Christina. How do you pronounce your last name, Christina?
Okay, in Spanish, it's Reche. I know it's for Reche, yeah.
Reche.
I know for you guys, it's difficult to pronounce it.
I'm trying.
Oh, I can say it. Ashley's going to have a hard time.
We're gonna let Kevin introduce your name officially. But I'm so excited that you're here, Christina. So especially Thank joining you. Us from Barcelona. So welcome.
Thanks.
Do not worry. I have the same problem. People see my last name. And the way I pronounce it, and for everyone to say it, it's Conde. But I know maybe for you being able to see my last name, it's actually pronounced Conde for people out there. So people see it and they're all like, Conde? And they don't know how to say it. So trust me, I completely understand.
Okay.
So as I was saying, we are excited to have you on. I don't believe we've had a photographer that specializes in maternity or newborn just yet. So I'm actually very eager to talk to you and hear about everything that goes into a session. Because I know that there are precautions that you want to take, as well as managing a shoot is different than a portrait session. But before we get into that, let me ask you, what drew you to maternity and newborn photography?
Okay, that's a good question. Actually, I started in fashion photography in 2010, around. I started working as an assistant for another photographer, and I thought my career would go in this way. But one of my models got pregnant, and she asked me to do her maternity session, and I really enjoyed it. Easy for me, and I really love it. And then she had the baby. I did her baby. That was not easy at all. Oh. that was a nightmare. I don't know how did I follow later. I think my first newborn session was like 9 hours.
Oh my God.
That is yeah, so
long. That's longer than a wedding.
No. I was like, okay, why the baby's not sleeping? I don't understand. But I was not trained for it. After this session, I was like so shocked. And I went to find out how to train myself in this field. And see, newborn sessions are totally different to any other sessions. You really need not only be a photographer, you need to know your model very well and to handle a baby very safely and to be able to photograph a baby while they don't wake up. That's not easy, okay? So I opened my studio in 2014, and I thought I was going to be doing fashion photography, but my studio, I started booking a lot of newborn and maternity sessions. I had sessions almost every day, so I couldn't even think about fashion at all. This is how it all began.
Well, I mean, can I ask, like, how did it get so busy right away with maternity and baby clients when that, A, wasn't really what you were... It sounds like what you're planning out to do. And then B, just because we get so many people in our community who, you know, they open the doors to their business and the common complaint we hear is, I just don't have enough clients. I just don't have enough clients. So do you have any secrets you can yes. share with us?
Well, the thing with maternity and babies, it's that babies are born every day. In Barcelona, it's like 1,200 babies a month.
Oh, wow.
I mean, there's, wow. yeah, I mean, even you just can like do 15 babies a month, maybe. there's job for a lot of people there. So it was not a big thing in 2012 when I start. So there were not so many newborn photographers in my town. Maybe we were 5 or 6. So it was pretty easy to be out there. And I didn't do any special things, but I did a lot of marketing. I'm a graphic designer, and at that time, no one had big websites or there were no templates or anything like this. So I think my big point was to have a very nice website at the beginning and a very graphic, I don't know how to say it.
Like a well-designed website
yes,
that looks
yes,
like high-end yes. and fashionable. And yes. I mean, yeah, I think that's definitely an advantage.
And I invested a lot in my studio. Very beautiful and not only functional, it was like a wow studio. And I think this was a big point for me. And
yeah.
Also, maternity, it's easy to find your models because, I mean, you can see them on the street.
you wouldn't happen to be pregnant, would you? Because I have an experience for you.
I mean, guys, I don't know about you, but I don't ask anybody if they're pregnant because there's literally nothing worse than if you mistake someone for being pregnant.
I don't either. But I mean, you can just go to any place. You have to feel like a pregnant woman. Where they go. I mean, they go to yoga for pregnancy.
That's a good point.
Usually they go to clinics. It's easy to find them.
That's a good point, because I mean, I think you bring up like a really good point that there's a lot of co-marketing opportunities for maternity photographers, because there are so many like businesses or practices you know, have pregnant clientele, like a prenatal yoga or workout studio,
like ecography, 3D or 4D.
Yeah, like the ultrasound. Yeah. I think we call it an ultrasound in the United States. Yeah. And then, like you said, like
baby midwives.
Yeah, baby store, midwifery, doulas. There's a lot of services in the childbirth, pregnancy kind of wellness space. So, yeah, that is a really good point that you can pinpoint like collaborators or business partners to work with.
Actually, I had a plan to do a lot of networking with all this business, but I didn't need it. I was working every day, and I didn't do 10% of what I was planning to do for my marketing.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. I mean, in a way, it's kind of reminds me of wedding photography in a little bit of a way, because with weddings, like it almost feels like once your name gets out there, is that's what you do. People just inquire because they know exactly what, you know, they know exactly what you do and they need that service, and it's just kind of like easy for them. Whereas like maybe a portrait shoot that's just kind of because is a little more difficult for people to kind of wrap their head around. And another thing that's like, I'm wondering if it's similar to weddings though, is with weddings, a lot of times you shoot that client though, and then you're done. They're not coming back for another wedding, hopefully, right? So like with a maternity and a baby, you have the maternity session, then you have the newborn shoot, but are you doing older babies as well? Yeah. Are you photographing them through childhood? How are you getting like that repeat business?
We also have the baby plan that it has like the 4, 8, and 12 month sessions. We have the cake smash at when they turn 1 year old. I don't do kids. I just do from babies, sitter babies, till 12 months old.
It's funny. Oh, okay. I've never heard of a cake smash for a one-year-old.
Oh, you haven't, Kevin? This is like a whole thing.
Well, I've heard of things for like weddings when you do like the, what is it, wreck the dress?
Where it's you trash the dress.
Excuse me, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Yeah, where you do those, but I've never heard of cake smashing.
I've heard of it. I'm not into this so much. But, usually parents want to do it, but babies don't really like it so much.
Yeah, I was going to say, I have a really funny story maybe I'm just a mom and I think it's a funny story, but when my son turned one, since I'm a photographer, I was like, oh, I'll take his cake smash photo. So I made my husband, who likes to bake as like a hobby, make this like really fancy looking cake. And we went to my studio, we set up the whole shoot, and my son had like no interest in touching the frosting and smashing the cake. It was like the most failed thing ever. He was like, I don't want to get dirty. I mean, he couldn't talk, but like that was his body language. Was like,
but this is very usual. Babies usually don't like the texture. They are they don't like to get dirty. I mean, even moms, they say, oh, my baby in the park gets very dirty. He will love it. I always tell moms, do it at home first. Yes. Put the hands of your baby on this nata. I don't know how do you say it, Kevin.
what palabra?
White cream, nata?
Napkin?
White cream, probably. The cake cream.
Oh, I know. The frosting?
Yeah. Just put the baby's hands on it and see the reaction of the baby, because it will be the same in the studio. parents get very excited on this, but I always say, okay, we can just do the back decoration, the party decoration but we don't need to
smash the cake. Yeah, that's so, it's just so funny to me. I feel like one person must have done this like successfully and it went on Pinterest and then like everyone, including myself, like bought into the idea that babies love it.
Maybe some of them, they do. I had a baby that he was all the time eating. I mean, his head was inside the cake. Oh. You couldn't even take a picture of him because he wouldn't look at camera at all. But that's just one in a thousand, okay?
It's not so funny.
Then after the cake, we have the bath.
Little bath shots.
Yeah, they love this one. This one, it's very fun for them.
Yeah, I could see, like, babies do tend to love, like, water more than, like...
But what I do more in the studio, it's maternity, actually. I used to do a lot of newborn, but now I'm more into maternity. I do babies, but I have a lot of work in maternity right now and I cannot handle so many sessions.
So speaking of that, like, do you, so, and you kind of said something about a baby plan. So when you get a maternity client, are you selling them like a whole package with multiple photo shoots and sittings over this journey? Or is it really just the maternity session? Or how are you like kind of selling to the client?
I do it separately. First, I sell them maternity, and they can add newborn. They have like a $50 discount if they do both, but I don't sell anything else at that moment. Once I deliver these sessions, what I usually do, it's funny because they arrive to the studio to pick up their products. And I always have like a sitter set prepared there, like with baby clothes. And when they arrive to the studio, they are like, oh my God, I love this. Do you do sitter sessions? And I was like, oh, I didn't tell you.
You're dropping that little nugget of an idea into their head initially then. With that.
Yes, it works very well because I have this baby outfit, teddy bear outfit for a baby that all the moms want their babies on it. So when they see it, they are like, oh, they imagine their baby on on the set, and they are like, okay, I want to feel this way for 1 year more because they are really happy on the delivery. It's like the experience, it's very good and they want to keep it going on. I don't offer baby plans to all my clients. Just to the clients, I want to work with them for a full whole year. Okay.
Like, oh, she was hard to work with. I'm going to hide the baby clothes for that session when she comes in.
Yeah, maybe sometimes you don't get a match with a family or something, and it's like, okay, I don't want this that family for a whole year, okay? But usually I know what clients are going to be good clients, and I do in-person sales, and I know what clients will upgrade after the sessions, and I prefer to work with them.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, and so let's talk a little bit about your client experience, because I know that you have a unique experience in the way you work with clients. So once someone inquires, like, what is the next step that you're doing to create this, like, incredible experience for them?
Okay, the first thing is asking when is their due date. That's the most important, to see if we have availability, we have dates for them, okay? And I will send them the information via email. It's all very well explained there about how do we work. And if they have any question, then they can call me back and we can talk a little bit about that. Usually they call me and I explain to them about all the workflow that we will do. I usually do a pre-consultation with them via Zoom before the shooting, And I design in maternity, what we do is I design the session as I will do with an editorial. The session includes a basic package of 10 images, and I work every image as a cover image. I don't know if that makes sense. So what I do with them, it's make them pick some of my Instagram or website images just as a reference, so mm-hmm. I know what kind of images they like. Mm-hmm. And in the Zoom pre-consultation, we'll talk about how they want to be photographed, what's their favorite style, and we will design together this session.
Okay. Okay. So you're using the references of everything you've already shot before, because I would think that movement yes. during a pregnancy is kind of limited. So you kind of already have an idea of what they can, a pregnant woman can do. So yes. you can and just show them the images just to see what their favorite is.
Yes. Usually there is people that they prefer not images. Someone prefer fabrics, modern outfits, gowns. It's every woman is different. Some people just let me do whatever I want. That's my favorite ones. And some people, it's like, I want this picture, and this picture. That really get, it's easy, but it's boring when they do this, because sometimes they just want me to replicate another image of me or myself. Okay.
Okay.
Sometimes they just choose the outfit, and once I meet them, I know what can they do or not. I will pose them depending of their personality. Usually during the makeup and hair, we have like 1 hour and a half where I can chat with them, and I can see. They can tell me their story. I can know a little bit more about them. So I know if they can move or not. Usually they tell you, okay, they come usually around 28 weeks or 30 weeks. They are not too heavy. They should not have problem on moving so much.
Yeah, that makes sense. And do you feel like they get pretty tired during the shoot? Like, are you trying to keep the shoot to a certain length to not like, kind of overdo it for them or anything like that?
The shoot takes around 2 hours, but I always tell them that I'm not in a hurry. We will stop all the times that they need, because there are some movements for pregnant woman, like putting your toe.
Like pointing your toe?
Yeah, pointing your toe. This is very difficult for some of them. They get like cramps. And I just make them to tell me all the time, please stop.
Okay, yeah.
If you're uncomfortable.
I need to break, yes. I always tell them not to stay quiet. Just tell me it's time that they need to rest. I try to... It's like a yoga session for them. Okay.
Yeah.
So it sounds like you're very, very accommodating for any sort of time and rest. You know, as you said, you're not in a rush. You're not looking to get out of there. Whatever time it takes will take, you know, but that's the average length of a shoot.
But can you go a little bit longer? And can I clarify, is the 2 hours with hair and makeup, or is it after the hair and makeup is done?
After the hair and makeup.
Oh, okay.
Hair and makeup, it's 1 hour and a half, and then around 2 hours the shooting.
Okay, that's basically what I do for my portrait glamour noir type sessions too. That's like how long they run. I know there's some people in our community who are like serious magicians and can do like everything with hair and makeup in like 90 minutes or 2 hours, and I just don't understand how like the laws of time and physics work.
I asked my makeup artist, is like, is it possible? And she's like, she looks at me like, you're crazy, no? I mean, maybe sometimes like 1 hour if they have an easy hair.
Yeah, but, yeah. But yeah, exactly. I know, it takes me like 2 hours to shoot too. Like, it just doesn't seem like I can get all the variety and poses and outfit changes and everything in less time than that. Like, I would love to, but I just can't seem to do it without it feeling rushed. I feel like it takes time. Also, if someone's not very, like, comfortable in front of the camera, to kind of, like, let their guard down and just sort of become comfortable and let their personality show through. So I don't know, do you have any tricks for getting people to feel comfortable in front of the camera?
I think it's the most important in the session, that they feel secure and confident about themselves. Most of this woman just arrived to the studio, and it's the first photo session, or maybe the second after the wedding. And they tell you they are just like very shy, or they don't feel very good with their body, like they are swollen or with stretchy marks. I need to make them forget about all this, because photogenics, it's all about self-confidence. It's not about perfection. It's what I do to get rid of all these insecurities. It's once I tell them all this, it's like, okay, this is how it's going to go. You feel this way now, but don't worry. I'm going to pose you. I'm going to like you in a certain way. And once you see the back of my camera, you will do like this aha moment. Like, wow, that's me. And then the goddess will enter the room.
That's oh, always I love like that. This.
Yeah. So it always happens. It's like a transformation process. And once I know how to do my work, and I know how to like them, and I know how to pose them to take the best self out of themselves. So once they see themselves on the back of the camera, they are like, oh wow, that's me. And then we start the real session.
Yeah, I love that. And that reminds me so much of like everything I've learned through the portrait system and super education, because it is really all about that transformation and posing and lighting and just really giving them that supermodel type of experience for the day. And when they can see that, you know, it really is happening for them, they do just light up. So I love that advice.
Yeah, well, I learn everything with Subrise.
So. Don't we all? What would we do without Subrise?
It's part of the family already.
So women normally don't have, at least not to my knowledge, they don't normally have maternity clothes in their closet. Big flowing gowns with made of tulle and everything like that. Where are you getting your outfits? Do you have a?
I provide everything for them. I have like more than 300 outfits, not just gowns. Jeez. Yeah, but not just gowns. Yeah, you can do a gown with a fabric. You just need imagination sometimes. I have a lot of pictures that you think it's a gown, but it's just a fabric. It's all clipped on the back, and it like the high couture outfit. Mm. Okay, there's a lot of people that they prefer, for example, modern outfits, like more fashion editorial. This is a trend right now in maternity. And I use regular clothes from Zara or any regular store. They don't have to be maternity specific.
Yeah, if they're just like stretchy enough or something like that, right?
And then there are a lot of vendors that sell maternity gowns. But maternity gowns, you can buy them, but I don't think really it's about the outfit. I think usually I have more people wanting a more minimalistic outfit than fine art outfits. But this depends on your style. I offer both. A lot of people just want everything. Some people just want the modern outfit. Some people, they want to try on all the gowns I have. So usually I don't put a maximum outfits on my session. If it's 10 shots, sometimes it's 10 outfits.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I was going to ask you, like, how with over 300 pieces, like, people figure out what they're going to wear. Like, do you have them all, like, printed in a catalog where they can
see? I have a catalog. I have an online catalog that once they book me, they get access to a stylist guide, and the catalog is there. It's always... I'm always putting new pieces on it, so it never ends. I mean, it's not 300 gowns. Maybe they are. I have 300 outfits. Some of them, they are like more simple outfits.
Yeah. And
some of them are high couture outfits.
That's very cool, though. Yeah, I love the idea of having a catalog. I've had that idea for a long time for my studio. I don't have 300 pieces. I don't really even know how many pieces I have, but I have a super small studio, so I know that it, like, physically can't be 300 pieces, but I definitely have a lot, and my wardrobe rack is, like, so crowded now that, like, people, they don't even really look through it because it's just so smushed with stuff, and it's a little overwhelming, and I know it's overwhelming, and so I was like, I need to do something where they can know what's there without having to dig through it. And people have been like, get another wardrobe rack, but I literally don't have space in my studio for that. So I love this idea of an online catalog. I think that's really cool.
But actually, even I have 300. Maybe they choose always the same.
Really?
Like, oh, there are like around 10 outfits that they always go into the session. It's like, you don't need, I have outfits that I haven't used ever.
Do you ever think about, like, downselling or selling off some of the things that just don't seem to get used? Or do you just like having it just in case? Or
I try to sell them, then I'm like, okay, just in case. Then
I'll hold on to this one.
Yeah, no, I'm asking more for myself just because like I said, I'm trying to figure out what to do with my stuff. And then yesterday I had a session and this woman really didn't bring any, like, normally my clients bring their own clothes in, but she really didn't bring much in, and she didn't really end up liking what she brought of her own clothes, and she really wanted to play with my stuff. And then I ended up pulling out some pieces that literally I have not shot in 5 years. Mm-hmm. And I was like, woof, thank God I have this, you know? But then at the same time, I keep thinking, oh, I should get rid of that because I don't ever shoot it. And it's just sitting there. And what's the point? I have such a small space. I should be a minimalist. So I'm basically asking you for advice, Christina, about what I should do.
What I try to do is all these things I don't usually shoot. I used to plan a lot my session, but I leave a little space for improvisation. So when I have some garments no one has wear, I don't even know how, if they fit. So I asked my mom if they want to do an extra shoot and if they want to try on these clothes I just bought, or they say always yes. And
yeah,
and so I can make the picture at least for the catalog.
Oh, that's perfect. So, I love that. Yeah. I know, I need to get on this catalog idea. I think that's like my new project that I need to work on. And I love it.
And also I mix a lot of garments. Maybe I use a tulle gown and I put on some modern boots, or I just try to be creative with, because I get really bored about myself because people just want the same pictures. If you have a picture in Instagram that they really love, they always ask for the same picture. I try to make up their mind, but no, they want that picture. So sometimes you have to be very creative to try to do another thing that I have not done yet with the same gown.
Yeah, I think you bring up a really good point because, I mean, there's like a beauty to the fact that we create these beautiful images. They are very recreatable in our studio, meaning we have that outfit, we have that backdrop, we know that light setup. But then after a period of time, for us, it can start feeling stale, even though for the client, it's, you know, their picture. They don't never seen a picture like this before. To them, it's very novel and beautiful. And so there is always that fine line between, like, efficiency, I guess, as a business owner, knowing, hey, I've got these 10 sets. I could do these 10 shots that sell really well and just breeze through those, yeah. versus the creative side of you that always wants something new and to feel like you're not stuck in a routine. And I can really relate to that a lot.
Yes.
And I really like the idea that you had pointed out where you save time at the end, where you might grab a piece that isn't used often or hasn't been used at all, and potentially one, use that as an opportunity to sell them an image in that beautiful outfit, but also to grab yourself more marketing material. So as you said, people see it on Instagram and that's what they buy over and over because that's what mm-hmm. they're seeing. But now you have the new dresses, the new outfits, the new garments that you can go ahead and place online and hopefully get new inspired clients with new images.
Yes, they will choose the pink dress. They will choose the new one.
I do want to just invite the audience to ask any questions if they have any at this point. You can do that. Oh, wow. Michael Padilla, fast with the hand raise. I'm going to invite him as a speaker. But yes, if anyone has questions in addition to Michael, feel free to raise your hand. And welcome, Michael.
Good afternoon, everybody. So my question for Christina is, I'm not sure if I understood correctly, but I'll ask it anyways. If you're doing, like going to like, let's say yoga, a place that does for like pregnant women or like a doula, or whatever, what language are you using to go in there instead of, rather than just going, hey, I'm a photographer, let me take pictures of you, type of thing? Like, how would you approach that?
Okay, that's a good question. What I will do is, I will go to the teacher on the room, and I will tell her, okay, can you let me 10 minutes after your class with your... Not students, I don't know, with your
students, yeah.
Okay. Students with your students to tell them about my services. And what I will do is give them like some kind of voucher to the moms and what I can do with the owner or the teacher, it's maybe in exchange we can talk about what she needs. Maybe she needs some pictures for her yoga place or for branding, or maybe I can help her somehow with my clients, and she can do the same. Maybe I can have her in my Instagram and talk about her yoga place. I don't know. I should think about this because I haven't done it, but I know people that does it.
Yeah, that sounds good because I don't do maternity or anything like that, but I'm trying to think of ways to network or reach out to other places, yeah. and I figure, you know, you could probably use the same language. Whatever. So yeah, that's actually really good.
Another thing that what they do is go to maternity hospitals, and you can offer them to decorate the rooms with your pictures. Yes, that works very good with newborn sessions, and then you just give them some pieces of art for the waiting room with your cards on the bottom.
Yeah, I've considered, you know, I don't shoot maternity, but I see a whole bunch of images, very beautiful ones, very similar to yours or yours as well. And I'm like, God, they're so beautiful and it looks so elegant. And I really should look into that space. And I've considered the idea of going to a maternity hospital, talking to nurses, because the nurses are going to be the ones that interact with these clients the most. I'm like, here, find your favorite clients that you know are the ones you enjoy working with. And, you know, I'll trade you a session, a family shoot or whatever, because I think that's part of networking, is finding the people that could potentially help you to be the ambassadors of your brand and keep that movement going. So yeah, whether that's a yoga studio or a maternity hospital would be a fantastic idea.
Yes.
Yeah, and I think, too, the important thing is always just remembering, like, what's in it for them. Like, that's what I remember Sue always is talking about. Like, there's no such thing as a free lunch. Like, why is this person going to help you, you know? So if you can come in with a plan of, like, what you're going to do for them, Michael, yeah. instead of coming in about, like, what you want them to do for you first, I think that's always, like, the strategy to go with. So I hope that helps, too.
Yeah, it has to be a win-win.
Yeah. And so if anyone else has a question, Michael's question was great. You can go ahead and raise your hand and ask it to Christina. And in the meantime, Kevin and I will continue interviewing her. But just remember that we have about 20 minutes left, so plenty of time to get your questions answered for all the live listeners.
I was also going to point out that with Clubhouse's new chat feature, if you have any question in there and if you're not comfortable coming up on stage, feel free to put it in the chat and we can always ask that question there as well.
Oh, yeah. That's a good reminder. Thanks, Kevin.
No problem.
Okay. So, Christina, we've covered the photo shoot or the pre-shoot consultation, the wardrobe. We've talked a little bit about the photo shoots, but is there anything in the photo shoot that you're doing to sort of plant seeds for the sale or for, I know you talked also about how you plant seeds at the in-person sale session for the baby shoot, mm-hmm. but is there anything you haven't shared with us that makes that shoot like extra special where they want to come back or for the baby shoot or they want to refer friends or just like any little touch points that you're adding?
Okay. After the session, in the same day of the session, what I usually do is to do a small preview with my client in my computer, but very fast. I don't want them to stay in a picture, but I can see their reaction. I can see the expressions they like or not. And I can mark with 5 stars the ones that they just really love. They are like, oh, my God. and I can just reject the ones that they don't like it. So I can just make a pre-selection myself before putting her gallery up. What I usually do is I plan my 10 pictures, right? But what I do with all these pictures, I'm concerned that they like to choose their expression. So if I shoot one image, I will make sure I will have her look at camera, look down, look up, and have different posings. And what my client will choose, it will be which one of these expressions is her favorite. Does it make sense?
Yeah, actually, I was going to say I think that's really a cool kind of, it sounds like it's almost like a hybrid idea between a same day reveal, which I know some photographers do with a lot of success where they aren't editing the pictures, but they do the full reveal the same day and a reveal where they come back 2 weeks later, they're seeing somewhat or if not fully edited pictures and they're choosing from there. And I really like that idea because if I'm getting it right as this hybrid thing, because I sometimes really do struggle with trying to pick the right expression from a set.
Yeah. And so, sometimes they get really excited just with one of your pictures. And you know, okay, if I see that every time I show her one, that expression, and she's like, oh my God, I love myself here. I know I'm not going to fail if I edit already this picture because she already chose it, right? So, and if I see that all, maybe I love the one image of her with a certain expression, but maybe she doesn't see herself in there. Maybe for me, artistically, it's a great image, but maybe she doesn't like it. So it's sometimes it's hard to choose for them, right?
Yeah. No, I mean, I relate to that. I've been doing this for a really long time. I mean, almost 10 years, I guess 9 years this summer. And it's still really hard to sometimes, like some clients you just kind of know. And then some clients it's like, oh gosh, they were really hard on themselves or, oh gosh, they just were so photo, like they just came alive in front of the camera and like all of these are fire, but which one do they want? The serious? Do they want the smiley? Because they're kind of all the same. Maybe in a, you have five shots that are similar pose, yeah. But you have these wildly different expressions. So yeah, I really like this idea. I think this is very helpful and cool. And I might even try something like that.
It works for me. I think you have to find the way it works for you, because I tried a lot of things and finally I'm comfortable with this manner. And what I do then, it's if I really, really love an image, I edit it already, because I don't care if the client is not going to get it or not, because this is going to be in my portfolio. But usually... Yeah. They choose it. 99% of the times when they see it edited, they already go for it. What I try to just do a small edit when I upload the gallery, and they choose the final images that I will finish editing. But it's more difficult to do a product sale this way. With newborn, I do it totally different. I have a method in newborn that it's just the greatest. And it works 99% of the times. Because in newborn, what I do, it's very different than maternity. Because a newborn, I edit a newborn image in like 2 minutes. In my maternity, maybe it's like 15 minutes pretty much. It's not the same. So what I do with newborn, we shoot a gallery, we shoot for a gallery of 30 images, and they always buy a basic package at the moment, a base package of 15 images. They pay this in advance. And once they see the images in the in-person sales via Zoom, they then decide if they want to upgrade or they just want to choose these 15 images. Usually everybody upgrades, because what I do is if they get a product collection, they get the 15 images left on the gallery. They get the 30 images.
Okay, so it's kind of like, oh my gosh, I need all of these, so I'm just going to upgrade.
Yes, because it's like, okay, how can I choose? It's with babies, it's, I okay, the clue in this, it's you have to have 30 images very different. They cannot look alike. You have to. I have a very pre-designed workflow in my newborn sessions. All my sessions are exactly the same. We just change outfits and colors, but we always work to make a book, and it's always the same session. So it's easy. What I do in the Zoom, I do a very emotional slideshow with music, and it's very interesting because you can see the reaction of the people and you can learn a lot from your clients, what they like, what they not, how they choose the images between them. It's very interesting.
So with your newborn session, you say you have everything already pre-planned out. How many looks are you getting to give you that variety? And what exactly are you changing within? Because obviously you can't ask a baby to pose, really. So is it the props? Is it the baskets? Are you? I know you can move the baby around a little bit. But
yes, we do five different sets. And this is like five posing. For one, I don't know if you know something about newborn photography. But there are different poses in newborn, like potato sack or the chin on hands. Yeah, they have names.
I know chin on hands. I've seen that one. Potato sack, is that the one where you swaddle them and they look like a little bean?
Yes, yes. We start always the session doing a wrap, because they follow sleep very easily when you wrap them. So we start there with the potato sack, then with this potato sack, we change the wrap with another color and go to a prop. And once then we do the bouquet, and then we go to the nude poses, we do a couple of sets. And then finally, the family shoots that we do shoot with mom, dad, and all together.
And how we talked a little bit about the maternity. How long is a baby, newborn shoot go for? How long does it go?
Usually, for me, it's like between 3 and 4 hours. It's not that you are shooting these 4 hours. The first hour, parents feed the baby. You have to put him to sleep. And then you have like a couple of hours more of shooting.
Okay. And it's crucial that the baby be just very brand new, right? Like only a few days old?
Yeah. We usually shoot them between 6 and 12 days old. Not before 6 days because they still don't eat well before the 6 days. And it doesn't mean that you cannot shoot a baby if the baby is 20 days old. But the more days that the baby has, more awake is the baby, and they can have colics and cramps, and it's more difficult. If they have stomach
issues, yeah,
pain, yes, they won't get to sleep. And the more days the baby has, the more problems the baby can have.
I have shot
babies with 1 month and they were better than a baby with 6 days. So it's not 100% rule.
Yeah.
Take the chance, okay. Every baby is different.
What do you do if you're in a shoot and it's just that baby is not cooperating? Like it's just crying the whole time. Like how do you
If the baby is crying, usually it's because one of two things. Or the baby is hungry or the baby is on pain. So if it's on pain, you cannot do too much. Maybe it's not, maybe I reschedule the session if I see I cannot do anything with this baby. It just happened once to me, really.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. But it happens a lot that the baby is hungry. He has not eaten well because there's a lot of issues with breastfeeding.
Yeah.
I say it right, yeah. And sometimes it's not easy for moms to feed the babies. And if they are, if they want to eat, they won't sleep. So you have to be very patient with moms and just to try to help them with anything you can.
So I was going to ask you, when we were talking about at what point you want the baby to come in, what about handling a premature baby? How does that change the
photo shoot? Yes. This goes totally different because premature babies, what I will ask the mom, they have to be out of the hospital, obviously. And I will ask them the weight of the baby. I don't shoot babies with less of 2.5 kilograms. I don't know, in pounds.
In sizes?
Yes.
I don't know either, but that's okay. We'll Google it later or something. Okay. I don't know.
2.5 kilograms, okay? I ask them to wait till they get this weight. And sometimes the baby is 30 days old. It doesn't matter. These sessions are usually easy because the parents are really easy. I mean, the parents have had a very hard time in the hospital. So it's okay if it's not going to be a perfect posing or if the baby is more awake. I mean, they are celebrating their child is alive with them and it doesn't matter if the baby's not as much asleep, we can do a lot of things anyway.
And I just Googled it and it's it's about 5.5 pounds just for our okay. American listeners, because we are like have to be rebels and not have a normal. Oh, and MJ Griffin also wrote in that it's 5.5 pounds. So we were all on the Googles. Okay.
So I was going to ask you, for these newborn sessions, are you having an assistant help you during everything?
I used to have one. And it, for me, an assistant was really helpful just to handle things. But if you don't have an assistant, for me, it's not that important in the newborn session. But you have to have everything very planned and to have all the stuff on near you so you don't have to move. Usually I have all my sets set up already with all the outfits on the set. So I just have to move the baby from one to the other one. And I have everything I need with me in case I need something. Maybe the dad can just help me with something. But I feel pretty confident working just myself.
Yeah, that's what I was about to ask you. If you've ever had like the parents like here help you with this or help you with that, or would you prefer them not get involved?
I try to keep them away because sometimes they are like, they are like on the way when the baby just makes some noise. It's like, oh my God, what? Why he did this? And the baby feels the energy of the room. Babies are like, how would I say this? They feel the energy of anyone. If they are nervous, the baby will feel it. If mom is nervous, the baby won't sleep. They are still one person. It's very strange, but when you keep them separate, the baby relaxes. If mom is not relaxed, the baby won't relax, never.
Well, it's actually funny you mentioned this because when we talked to Shelley Wolf Franklin, who does a lot of pet portraits, we talked about sort of the same issue with with pets. Like sometimes it's better when the owner's not there because the pet will actually not behave for the photographer when the owner's in the room. So I think
yes,
it's very true. Like
very similar. Yes.
Yeah. If you
they both smell fear.
Exactly. And I think too, like sometimes as parents, it's just like they're paying for this photo shoot. They want it to go really well and they want the photos. So sometimes that's like where the nerves are coming from, but it's actually like the sabotaging factor. Yes. I think that can be like with pet parents too. So.
And see the first time parents, they don't know what they are doing and it's like the first time for them. And what I do with them, it's I train them to,
sit down.
They can feel more confident to sleep the baby they are like very relieved that someone just explains to them something about the baby.
Oh, that's funny. I mean, you're the baby expert. You photographed multiple babies. Yes. And if they're the first time parents, you know, every little sound is like, oh my God, what do they want? What do they need?
Yes, the baby, yes. You know? Are they, is that normal? It's
the baby breathing.
Yeah, it's all the time. So when I always tell them that they don't get just pictures, they get just training, and they are really once they see you dominate the situation and you are the boss, they then leave you with the baby. They are very confident with you, and they sit in the sofa and start with WhatsApp or whatever, and they are not on the way.
That's
fine. Well, Christina, I can't believe to say this, but it's like getting close to 1 o'clock already. So, like just a few minutes away. So I want to ask you before we have to wrap this conversation up, for those in our portrait system community who are listening and are like, maybe I want to add more maternity on to my sessions or, you know, as a genre, or maybe I want to add baby photography as well. Like, what is the biggest piece of advice you can give someone who really wants to add this as a profitable genre to their portrait studio?
That's a hard question. Well, with newborn, you have to get a lot of education and to do a lot of babies. Maternity, if you are a portrait photographer, it will be much easier for you because it's portrait, but with a bump.
Yeah.
And it's much easier because hands are always around the bump. it's, I think I try in maternity much easier to post than regular sessions.
Because you know where the attention is supposed to go.
Yes. But I don't know, any advice, just have fun, shoot whatever you really are passionate about it. And that's all.
I think that's a nice run.
Yeah, I think you need to have your own style and be very picky about what colors you like, what style, to make your own brand. Yes, and to make you unique, because there are a lot of photographers out there. So the most important, and I think the most difficult thing, it's to be different. And this is what they are going to choose you for, to be different than the other ones.
Mm. Yeah, that's solid awesome. Advice.
Well, Christina, that went by super fast, actually. I'm surprised it went by so quickly. And it has been an absolute pleasure having you on to talk about babies and maternity and all of that. But since we are at the 1 hour mark, before we let you go, I want to ask, where can people find you on social media?
Okay. I'm in Instagram. I don't know. Should I spell it? It's Christina Reche dot Petit Monde. Petit Monde.
So we'll go ahead and we'll fill that in on
yes, please.
In the Clubhouse. I'll put your handles in our Clubhouse thread for people to look at.
Okay, perfect.
And your website?
My website, it's easier. It's Petit Monde, PETITMONDE.ES.
Perfect. And that's ES, not .com.
ES, ES, yeah, from Spain. España.
Perfect. Well, everyone, please be sure to follow Christina, as well as make sure to follow the Portrait System on Instagram and on Facebook as well. Also, be sure to check out the blog posts that are associated with our Clubhouse interviews at suebriceeducation.com/blog. You can follow Ashley on Instagram at Ashley Taylor Portrait. That is ASHLEIGH. And you can find me there as poplight_photography. If you are a member of the Portrait System and you have any more questions for Christina, Ashley, or myself, go tag us in a post in the Portrait System Members Only Facebook group. And if you are not a member of the Portrait System and you are interested in learning more about how it can help your business succeed, reach out to Ella on our support team by emailing support@suebriceeducation.com. Thank you again for joining us, and we hope you can join us next week.
Thanks again for listening today, and don't forget you can listen to either me or our special guests every Friday on Clubhouse at 11 a.m. Pacific. Thank you so much for listening to the Portrait System podcast. Your 5-star reviews really help us to continue what we do. So if you like listening, would you mind giving us a review wherever you listen? I also encourage you to head over to suebriceeducation.com, where you can find all of the education you need to be a successful photographer. There are over 1,000 on-demand educational videos on things like posing, lighting, styling, retouching, shooting, marketing, sales, business, and self-value. There's also the 90-day startup challenge, plus so many downloads showing hundreds of different poses. We have to-do checklists for your business, lighting PDFs, I mean, truly everything to help make you a better photographer and to make you more money. Once again, that's suebriceeducation.com. It's time for me to tell you about this episode's sponsor, Fujifilm North America. If you haven't experienced portraits and wedding scenes created on the large format GFX system digital camera sensor, you are missing out. Along with up to 102 megapixel resolution, you'll find rich colors and gorgeous in-camera looks. There's also AI-driven subject detection and 8 frames per second bursts inside the compact GFX 100 digital camera. Hit the link in this episode's description to view the products. It's time to dream big in your creative process.